Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk distribution is made possible by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. And when you sign up for our free InvestTalk Insider program, you have instant access to a whole library of webinars, breaking the risk barrier, measuring and managing investment risk, doing dividends right, a 30-minute crash course in dividend investing. These and many more topics are yours free with your Insider membership. And anybody can sign up for free. Just go to investtalk.com. And now, today's InvestTalk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and how are you this afternoon? This is Thursday, February 11th, and you're listening to Invest Talk. And this is our one-hour forum. We do this every day, Monday through Friday, 4 to 5 Pacific time. We're live. We field questions. We want to hear your comments. Your strategies would be interesting to hear about. What are you going to do about this market that you're in? Are you doing anything? And maybe you shouldn't do anything. Personally, I think you should have done things, you know, late last year or in the middle of last year or even the beginning of last year to prepare for this kind of volatility. And if you haven't, maybe it's too late. Maybe it's not. So what are you? I want to hear what you're doing. Because on this, on the 20th of this month, of February 20th, you're going to hear what we're doing. We have our Saturday morning wealth conference, and we're going to talk about strategies in this kind of market. We're going to share with what we've been doing, what we own, and how we've done in our stock accounts, and what strategy, how do you profit in the volatility we're having? You know, Not everything's going down. The indexes are, but there's a number of places that are not going down. Have you seen Realty Income Corporation, symbol O? It's a REIT. If you looked at, of course, have you looked at gold? Not everything's going down. Gold mining companies. So there's ways and strategies to play this. Maybe you should be in some cash because you want to have some ammunition to shoot at the market when this market finally bottoms out, wherever that is. You want to have money available to buy bargains. That should be a strategy. Anyways, today's market is causing a lot of anxiety and because of the volatility. It's been huge. So we really want to talk about, you know, Warren Buffett had a saying, and this is one he's always quoted all the time, and everybody knows that. And everybody knows some of his most famous quotes, but here's a quote that's not so famous. Quote, should you find yourself in a chronically leaking boat, energy devoted to changing vessels is likely to be more productive than energy devoted to patching leaks. And what he's talking about there is, are you in stocks that are too damaged that are not going to recover? And if you are, time to exit them. Get out. Now, do you feel like you're in a leaky boat? Are you trying to decide whether you should get out? Make some massive changes? Or maybe you should just patch. Patch what you're doing. Not necessarily make massive changes. So we try to help people think in those terms. That's what this show is about. That's what our conference is about, teaching moments. Try to teach you how to react. And you don't want to react in a panic, either panicking getting in or panicking getting out. That's not going to serve you. So we're going to talk about these kinds of things at our Saturday Morning Wealth Conference. You can sign up for it by going to investtalk.com. I also will be meeting with people. My two most immediate dates are coming up. I have Skype and phone call scheduled for February 17th, and I'll be meeting with folks in our San Jose satellite office as well. And that's going to be, I don't remember that date, but I have that. You can see that on investtalk.com. You can just go there, set up a time. Also, if you just have a question about these meetings and you just want to ask some questions, you can call. We are not pushing people here at KPP Financial. Our number is 888-99-CHART. You can just follow the prompts. So what's your money question today? Let's talk about it. I'm here for you. Let's hear your comments. Any comments you have financially, I'd love to hear them. Have you looked at the mortgage rates? Boy, they've really come down. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number.
This is Nathaniel calling from Japan. I'm just calling to ask a question about balancing. I've sold several positions as they've been heading towards or hitting new highs in the last 2 months or so, And right now I'm overweight in commodities that have obviously been hit fairly hard. My question is, do I focus on buying into those that are bone beaten down and dropping my cost basis? Or do I wait for pullbacks to rebalance first and then just wait for the commodities to make a turnaround when the cycle changes, and putting money into some that I might want to keep as core positions like Exxon or something like that? Thanks.
Well, commodities have been beaten up so much, I'm not in the mood to sell them myself. I'm in the mood to buy them. But, you know, you do have to have a diversified portfolio. So it depends on how much commodities you have. And having some cash on the side ready to buy something is a very good method to ride out this volatility. Because cash is not volatile, right? It's not either going to go up or down. So it kind of calms down the overall portfolio in a very volatile time. But at some point, you want to redeploy. I like commodities. I like the oil companies. You've heard me say big oil here, I don't know, several months now. That's where I'd like to be in the commodity space. The gold mining companies, you've heard me say I'm not a big gold person, but I own gold positions because I do take a, I like to take advantage of opportunities if I see them. And we see opportunities there, big oil and gold mining companies. Now, so I still see that in oil companies. And gold, it has had a pretty decent run up, but I wouldn't hesitate to add to that on a pullback. Having said that, you need a diversified portfolio. So I can't, you know, without knowing where your concentration is, you know, I don't like to have more than 18-20% of any one sector at any one time. No more than 3-5% of any one stock. You know, so there's rules I go by, and that you probably, you know, you have to have some kind of plan for the overall portfolio. If you send me more details about your portfolio, you know, I'd be happy to answer you more completely. But I do like the commodity section at this point because it has been beat up. I don't know if I'm in a big rush to jump into commodities, but I do like them. Let's go to Jim in Sunnyvale. How you doing? He wants to talk about LinkedIn. How you doing, Jim?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for the call.
I am calling to find out what you think about the direction of LinkedIn.
Well,
it
I don't...
It has taken a 40% or actually 50% downturn.
Yeah, it tanked. I'm sure it was the earnings. I'm not a big close follower of LinkedIn, but I have a feeling it was earnings and maybe a slowdown in their participation, you know, growth. LinkedIn has been growing very, very fast, and there's issues that, well, maybe it's not going to grow so fast in the future. And for everybody out there, LinkedIn Corporation provides social networking platform for members to share their professional identity online via LinkedIn, professional identity as opposed to personal. And it took a huge hit from $200 down to $102 in 2 or 3 days, most of it in 1 day. So it's been hit. But Jim, this is a good lesson for everybody. You know, even if a company's growing very, very fast, and this one is, sales are growing 30%+ per quarter. And earnings up 16% this year, another 30% next year. Very, very fast growth. But the PE is huge. You know, so the price to earnings ratio gets, and this is true for every very fast growing company. And this is the danger when you're in them. If they have a disappointing quarter, and a disappointing meaning their earnings could be great, but the CEO saying, well, we're not going to grow as much this next quarter, and we're under pressure. And that will tank an overpriced stock or a very high growth stock in a heartbeat because it's already overpriced. And LinkedIn was way overpriced. So do you own it now, Jim? Do you own it?
Yes. And I'm just wondering if I should keep holding it and hope for the recovery. But given the volatility, it doesn't seem likely. Now, if the volatility stops and they keep reporting growth, then they will eventually return. So should I cut my losses and move on?
Well, it's still at about a 30, 40 PE, 40 PE, so it's still expensive. I think you'll get a bounce. And, Jim, I'd probably sell the bounce. I think you will get a bounce on the stock because it's still a very good growing company. It's not falling apart or anything, but it's still pretty overpriced. And the market, as you say, is volatile. And I'm not, this is a market that you don't want to be in high growth stocks that can be subject to this kind of fall. Yeah, so be very careful here. I'd probably sell it on a bounce, Jim. Okay?
Okay.
Just because it's costly. This is expensive. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Have you registered for our Saturday Morning Wealth Conference? It's coming up in about a week and a half. It's set for February 20th, San Jose, Survival and Opportunities in a Volatile Market. You can still take advantage of the early bird registration. Save $10 on the $45 entry fee. It'd be $35 if you do it by February 12th. And by the way, that's tomorrow. And you can sign up at investtalk.com or you can call 888-99-CHART. 888-99-CHART. We're going to talk to BJ in Fremont. How are you doing, BJ?
I'm doing good. Thanks for taking my call, Steve.
Thank you.
I wanted to know your opinion about Walgreens. The symbol is WBA.
Okay. Do you want to buy it or do you already own it?
I already own it. Okay. And it's down about $5 from my price.
Okay.
I want to see if this is a good time to accumulate more or not.
Okay. Walgreens, everybody, out of Deerfield, Illinois, operates 12,755 pharmacies, and it's a big company, $81 billion company, and it's doing very well for such a big company. It's grew its sales in the last four quarters over 50% a quarter. Well, maybe over 45% a quarter. Earnings are going to be up 15% this year, and then another up 12% next year. It's going to make $5 a share estimated next year. I like that it's in a non-cyclical industry. It's a very strong company with very little debt, and the stock is not overpriced. Insiders are buying. Mutual funds are buying. It's got all those numbers lined up pretty well, BJ, so I do like the company a lot. My idea would be to add to it. I think that would be a better, not to get rid of it, but to add to it. And hopefully it should find support right around where it is, right around $75. It should be. That's only based on next year's earnings, that's about 15 PE. Pretty good for a company growing its sales 30, 40% a quarter, 45%. And insiders been strong buyers for several quarters in a row. So this is one I agree you could add to it. You could add to it.
Okay.
Okay. I hope it works for you. Good luck. And that's Walgreens. WBA is the symbol, everybody. Do we have time for Jay? Let's go to Jay in Fremont. How you doing, Jay?
Fine. Thank you, Steve. How are you?
Good. Thanks for the call.
Steve, I wanted to know if GSK is a good buy at this price or you think it will fall further?
Now, GSK is GlaxoSmithKline, everybody. It's a developer of pharmaceuticals for respiratory cardiovascular diseases. It's a very big company, $94 billion company. It's very solid. Think about Walgreens. Think about GlaxoSmithKline. Walgreens is a retailer of drugs. Glasgow makes them, okay? The difference is the retailer of drugs that we just talked about has growth of sales 30, 40, 50% per quarter. This one is falling in the single digits per quarter. Sales is shrinking. Dividend is very high at 6%. It's a very good company. Mutual funds are slowly selling it, but it is a reasonable price for the company. It's a reasonable price. I think what you want to do is, it looks like it's found support right around the $37, $38. This would be the place that you'd want to buy it, but have a tight out just in case it doesn't work. So you can get out. Okay? I do like it. I think that dividend's pretty darn solid. Thanks for the call, Jay. I'm glad you're with us today. Whether you're a beginner or you have a specific stock question, check in now, 888-99-CHART. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, and this is Invest Talk. Let's talk to John in San Francisco. Wants to talk about some banks. How you doing, John?
I'm okay. Thank you, Steve. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I would like to know whether to buy Bank America or sell.
Well, I wouldn't buy it. I wouldn't buy it now, but at some point, the banks are going to be very attractive, but not yet, John. I'd be out of them at this point. And the reason being is you can blame Janet Yellen on this, I think, because Bank of America has really taken a dive in the last 4 or 5 days. And the Fed is almost telling us that they're not going to raise rates in March. They may or may not raise rates in June, but they're saying that they're nervous and they're not going to raise rates very fast. And the banks all want higher rates because they can make more money. And they're not getting higher rates. So it's a tough environment for them, and this is why the banks are taking it on the chin. And I think it's going to be continue to be a tough environment for the banks. So I think it's too early to buy them, but it's not too early to keep an eye on them because I think that at some point they're going to become a very good bargain.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call, John. Appreciate it. That's Bank of America. He called about BAC specifically. Okay, let's go to Dan in Los Altos. How you doing, Dan?
Oh, great. Steve, good to talk to you. Listen to you on 1220 every day.
Thank
you. Just had a quick question about going short the market, continuing a short position in SH, maybe adding to it, and or buying some gold for the first time, which I never did.
We have both. We have shorts and we have gold positions on. And I think this is where you want to be to hedge your rest of your portfolio. I think it's a good place to be. Now, having said that, Dan, we're hoping for a rally, a short-term rally, so we can put more shorts on and probably more gold. So that tells you what I think about those two assets, because I think they're very... Yeah, I think the dollar is going to come down, which you've seen it come down. I think, there's certain things happening that tells me that gold and shorts probably will work in the short term. These are trades, though, Dan. They're not long-term positions. They're just trades and hedges. Okay, so...
Maybe wait for the rally to get in the gold, or...
Yeah, if you have a big up day, a real good recovery up day, 200-300 points, you could put on a position of gold or short, So, and then if it continues to rally 2 or 3 days in a row, you can put on another one.
I hear you. That's logical. Thank you, Steve. Yeah.
Okay, thanks, Dan. Appreciate the call. Because the market, everybody, doesn't go in one direction all the time. We've had down. I think it's down 15% for the year for the NASDAQ, down 10% for the year for the S&P. Okay, yeah. It'll probably have a bounce. We're probably oversold, and we've been getting a bounce. How big the bounce is, I don't know. But you really want to, we were hoping for a bigger bounce recently. I mean, if you're paying really close attention, which of course we do, you saw that the market did give you a bounce. It did, give you a small bounce here in the middle of February, but that was only like a 1 day, and then it started right back down. So it wasn't much of a bounce. We were hoping for a bit better bounce, and we were going to put on more shorts and maybe more gold. And, we were too early in both our shorts and gold. I will admit that right away. We put those positions on in the middle of last year. We started to worry about the market. So we've been too early. But better too early than too late. I keep telling people, anybody who asks me, it's always better, much better to have, it's not, the whole object is to make money. And in making money, you have to hold on to your gains. So it's better to be early than too late. We are going to talk about numerous things this hour. Oil, I'm going to talk about oil demand around the world and why the market is falling. What are the reasons that are out there that everybody says that this is the reason for the market falling? And is the economy going to go into recession? There's the stock market acts like it is, but is it really? So I want to talk about those talking points, but the main talking point we have going today is is this do-it-yourself portfolio. You've heard me many, many, many times on this radio show tell you that you can do it yourself. You can. But there's got to be discipline. There's certain things, characteristics you have to have in your own personality to make it succeed. But you can do it. The market was down 254 points today, the Dow was. The NASDAQ, surprisingly, was only down 17, but the NASDAQ has been really taken on the chin much more than the other markets, so today it didn't. The S&P was down 23. So we've seen a clear break. It was interesting, there was a strong signal about 18, on the S&P, about 1815, 1820. Can it hold there? That was the low it made in February, intraday low. And it did bounce off it today, which is kind of interesting. We'll see. We'll know. Tomorrow's, remember, it's a three-day weekend, so a lot of people, I don't know how many people are going to stay in the market over the weekend. You're listening to Invest Talk. Coming up next half hour, how to generate income in retirement. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number. You can call right now.
Why are earnings so important? What does that mean, earnings per share? Or what's your question? Why not ask it now at 888-99-CHART on InvestTalk. You know, you can get a link to our featured Talking Point article. It's there on investtalk.com. And coming up tomorrow, location, location, location. That mantra applies just as well to ETF investing. Your ETF may be better off in a retirement account. That's one of our talking points on the next InvestTalk. And thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. Continue now with this Thursday, February 11th, Invest Talk. And now you can think of KPP Financial as a source for real estate answers. With a licensed real estate agent on staff and access to an award-winning team, you can feel confident that you're getting good advice. To get your question to us, click on Contact Justin on InvestTalk.com. 888-99-CHART is how to get your question to us right now.
888-992-4278. So, can you manage your own portfolio? The answer is a clear yes. You do not have to hire somebody. You don't. You can beat the pros even. But you're going to have some discipline here. And this is where the problem is. When the market is going up, and it goes up every year, everybody is a genius. Because you just follow, you just buy the indexes and you stay in it. And you say, I'm not going to sell. I'll just hold on to the indexes and I'll be fine. When the market starts to fall and it gets to a point where people can't handle the pressure, this is where you cannot do it yourself. Many people, it's been proven over and over and over, cannot stay with the market. And that the pros beat, hands down, all other average investor. They've always beat them. Not every year necessarily, but they always beat them. But they don't beat the indexes. Well, wait a minute, isn't that kind of contradictory what I'm saying? No, it's not. Because people who are indexers and people who will buy an index and stick with it, well, they will beat the pros. But again, it's been proven so often, they sell at the bottom and they buy at the top. Every study out there says that. Every 401k, the IRAs, individual accounts, managed by individuals, that's what happens. So, the question is can you stick with it? Can you handle it? And you'll know, because the first time, did you stick with it in 2008? If your answer is yes, and you can be honest with yourself, then you can do it. Now, it gets more complex when you approach retirement, you get closer and closer to retirement, because now you're looking for income, and you're looking for, well, what should I be buying? And should I be buying bonds? And you're going to look at bonds, and you look at the history of the bonds for the last 20 years and say, wow, bonds have done really well. Well, that's when interest rates have been falling for the last 20 years. Now they're not falling anymore. They're near their lows. Will they, next 20 years, will they do well? No. So bond funds may not be a place where you'd be. And this is where maybe a pro will help you understand the risks that you want to take or the risks that you should take, try to give you an income portfolio, a balanced portfolio, those kinds of things. And, you know, there's an article of doing it yourself on our website that I'm basing this talking point on. And it just gives you a sample portfolio, but maybe that portfolio doesn't fit you. But it gives you an idea how to build a portfolio, which to me is crucial. You need to understand how you build a portfolio for you. Not for just, you know, building a portfolio, but everybody has their own needs and wants here. We're here for you. Beginner Experience Investor, 888-99-CHARTER is our number. If you're a podcast listener and you can't reach us during the live program, you still can call 4 to 5 Pacific Time. Here's a call.
Yeah, hi, Steve and Justin. This is David. I'm a podcast listener from Portland. Love the show. I'd love your guys' take on Disney stock right now. Do you think it would be a good time to buy? Had a nice pullback recently. Not sure why it's going down. Do you think it's overpriced? Should I wait for it to drop further? It's looking pretty good to me right now. I'd love your take. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Okay, the answer to is why Disney, the symbol DIS, is going down is all about ESPN. It's all about cable, cutting the cable cord. They did have their blowout earnings just a couple days ago from Star Wars or movies. They've got really good products out there. You know, they have different sources of income. You know, their theme parks and the movies and the TV. And the problem is ESPN, which is a big generator of income for Disney. And when I say the problem, it's not because there's, you know, no one's watching sports. That's not the problem. The problem is people are cutting the cable, and that's causing issues about, you know, future earnings. And that's the concern with Disney. Has it fallen enough? It was $120 a share in December. Now it's 89? Has it fallen enough? Well, I kind of like Disney long term. But I think Justin doesn't really care for it because he's really worried about that ESPN. But I think that, you know, it's not cheap, but it's not overpriced either. You know, $90 stock, I'm going to make $6.19 next year. You know, that's a 15 PE. So that's not cheap. That's an average PE. So I would like to buy it cheaper. But it had a good day today, up $1.45, $1.49, up $1.46 today to $90.31. So maybe it's trying to put in a bottom. Well, time will tell. I do like Disney on a long-term basis, but I want to get it cheaper if I can. We're here for you, beginner experienced. Want to talk to you? Give me a call. It's time for InvestTalk 101. As you approach retirement, you're looking for a way to generate income. And of course, dividend-paying stocks are one way. But the return will differ. Typically, companies that are paying high yield are in more volatile sectors than those that pay a lower dividend. People fall in love with the high dividend, the high-yielding dividend. And that may not be the best way to do it. Because you want sustainability and growth of dividends over a long period of time if you're a dividend income investor. You don't want to get, you know, a high dividend yield this year, but next year it's zero. Yeah, that's not the proper way to do it. And you need to look at different sectors. Utilities are popular. They usually historically pay high dividends. Real estate investment trusts historically pay high dividends. You know, and there's different kinds of REITs in different markets, so you got to be careful. You just can't just buy any REIT. Healthcare is, you know, many times pays high dividends, especially drug companies. You got to look at that. And I like healthcare because of the baby boomer generation. My generation, we're getting older and older and older, and we need more and more drugs and healthcare and that kind of thing. But be very careful with dividend shopping. Make sure you are looking at the yield, the payout ratio, the yield. Yield means it's paying 6% on the current stock price. And 6% of the current stock price of $100, it means they're getting $6 a year. But if they only make $3 a year, what are you doing? That's not sustainable. The payout ratios, how much of the earnings are they paying out based on the stock price? You want it to be like under 60%. There's rules. Like everything else, there's rules that you should live by. That's InvestTalk 101. If you have a question on the topic or any money matter, it's time to check in. You can do it right now. 888-99-CHART. Or make a personal note that will come directly to me. You can send me an email. Just click on Contact Steve on InvestTalk.com.
You've always got a financial advisor right in your pocket. Our 24-hour, anytime line is always open for your question. Or you can get a note directly to Steve or Justin. Click Contact on InvestTalk.com. And rest assured, they'll get right back to you.
Okay, so is the stock market telling us we're going into recession? Now, I know Justin talked about this for a few days, and he's fairly convinced that we're going to go into recession. And you know what? We are going to definitely go into recession. But no one knows when. Is it this year? Is it next year? Is it next month? Is it the year after? No one really knows. Okay, and neither I nor Justin know when that will happen. I can tell you this, the stock market is very good in determining a recession that's coming. If the stock market starts to fall, take a look at the last big recession we had, and you notice the stock market started to fall in 2007 and really took a dive in late 2008. So the stock market is pretty good about projecting, but the timing is always suspect. We don't really know. But is there data that tells us we're going into recession? You know, information reports come out all the time. ISM, payroll, trade deficit, retail sales. Tomorrow we have retail sales numbers. Industrial production, new home sales, new construction. And if you look at all those numbers, none of them are telling us yet that we're moving into recession. The trick is, those numbers will tell you you're in the recession after you already hit it, because most of them look backwards. So you want to look at leading economic indicators, and that's more difficult. They would be like the weekly unemployment claims. That's a leading economic indicator. Well, that fell sharply this week, and it's been low, much lower than, you know, it has been in a while. What's another leading economic indicator? Okay, how about one of the good ones is in construction, new construction, the new construction report. They give you the numbers what do they call them? License to build new, sometimes my brain draws a blank. But, you know, permits, building permits. They give you a count of how many building permits that they issued. And it is very strong, or pretty strong. I won't say very strong. Stronger than any indication that they were moving into recession. The stock market has been focused on its problems, but are not necessarily related to our underlying economy, which is a economy based on services. Most of the economic numbers are based on industrial activity as opposed to service activity. So even though some of them are weak, they're not terrible, but the service side of the economy is pretty good. So I just want to make sure we all understand, no one really knows when we're going to recession. I don't. Justin Klein, my partner, doesn't. We just know that the stock market tends to lead the economy. So it gives us a little pause. A little pause. And the world economy stinks. That's giving us more pause. Let's go to Bill in San Diego. How you doing, Bill?
Real good, Steve. Hope you're doing fine.
Thank you.
I've got a silly question here. It's one of your basic questions. Mm-hmm. Because I'm always reading how the smart money is doing this, and the smart money is doing that. Mm-hmm. How would you define the smart money? And okay. I'll take the answer out there. Thanks.
Okay, that's no problem. The smart money, when they were referring to smart money, they're usually talking about several sources. The big hedge fund managers, what they're doing, they're typically supposed to be smart. They're talking about big commercial banks with a very large investment portfolios. You know, what are they doing with their money? They're the smart money. And so they're watching the flows of massive amounts of money and where it's going. Those are the people they call smart money. But there actually is no clear definition of who that is. That's just a term they made up. They, meaning the media, made up. I'll tell you this. Experts are often wrong, and smart money, especially the hedge funds, are very frequently wrong. But when they're right huge, and they make huge amounts of money. When they're wrong, they go out of business. So don't fall in love with the smart money people and what the smart money is doing. Some, you know, I've been around way too many years, and I can't tell you that I can tell you for certain you can't rely on what the smart money does. You can't. It just doesn't work. If that's the case, okay, if that was the case, and we all, almost everybody, almost everybody agrees that Warren Buffett is one of the smartest investors out there. Can we all kind of agree? Because he, over the years, he's been the most consistent. Well, he had a terrible year last year, okay? And his year is worse this year so far. So, long term, he's the best there is. But don't fall in love with smart money, because they can make big mistakes and be wrong for a year, 2 years, 3 years in a row. So you have to, I really encourage you to rely on your own intelligence when it comes to the market. If you're investing for yourself, if you're doing it yourself. Oil. Everybody knows oil's been falling. And we all know one of the reasons is China. China's economy the growth has been shrinking from 10% a few years ago to 6.9% last year, and they're probably growing 6.5. And those are the official numbers. Probably half of that is really what's really happening. So demand for the last decade in oil has been coming from China. You realize that's not going to stay the same. India is going to outpace China. Did you know that India's economy grew at 7.3% last year? 2015? India, 7.3%? Higher than China's? 6.9%? Where is the demand coming from? The demand for oil is increasing in Asia. Asia, with China, India, all that part of the world, except Japan. The places that oil demand is shrinking is Japan, the EU, and the US. Oil demand is shrinking. Whereas Asia, it's increasing strongly. So, think of, you know, put in the back of your mind that oil demand is not going to shrink worldwide. It's going to grow. It's going to grow this year. You know, it grew last year. It's going to grow next year. The demand growth rate has slowed, but it's still growing. So, and I don't see that changing for the foreseeable future here. Yes, there'll be more there'll be more uses for clean energy, no doubt about it. But don't think all demand is going to go down.
Hey guys, I was wondering if you could take a look at two different stocks for me. First one being Sorrento Therapeutics, which is ticker symbol SRNE, and also Sarepta Therapeutics, SRPT. They both seem to have pretty good balance sheets, and I was wondering what your thoughts were on both of them. Thanks.
Okay, I would not buy either one of them. I wouldn't buy either one of them with someone gave me free money to buy them. First, let's talk about Sorrento Therapeutics. It's a $184 million company, microcap. It has never made money. They're scheduled to make money for the first time in 2016. I'm not convinced of that. Their sales are about $1 million a quarter. It's $184 million, $4 million in quarters. $4 million in four quarters is their sales. $184 million company? First of all, you can't value it because it doesn't make money. Maybe next year, 56 cents a share, if it makes that. Okay, maybe at the price it's at 480, maybe. But, you know, It develops therapeutics in areas of oncology, cancer. I wouldn't buy SRNE. And the other one is SRPT. That one looks worse. That doesn't even have any sales. They're going to lose $4.88 this year and then lose $3.99 next year. It's a $531 million company selling for $11.73. Why would anybody buy that? You should not think of these companies. These are pure speculative plays. In other words, it's the roll of the dice. It's you're just taking a guess because there's no earnings. This one has no sales. Would you buy a company that has no earnings and is burning money? Okay, what does it do? Develops RNA-based therapeutics using proprietary antisense technology to treat genetic infections and other diseases. Well, then how come we don't have any sales? Okay, announced positive results from phase 2 trials of eptipizarine. Phase 2? You know how far away they are from even coming out with a possible drug? You got to go to phase 2 and then phase 3. And then when you go phase 3, the human trials, most drugs fail there. So I would not. These are stocks you don't buy unless you're willing to lose all your money. And what happens with this is every once in a while, they work. And 1 out of 100 works, and you make hundreds of percent returns. It's like the lottery. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. What? Why is the market falling? This question has been asked of me constantly for the last month. Why is the market falling? Everybody wants to know why the market is falling. I want to know why the market's falling. Maybe because it just wants to fall. You want to know what the most common reasons are given and written about as to why it's falling? The Chinese economy is growth is shrinking. That's number one. The Fed raising rates, rose rates in December, caused the market to fall. Oil crashed. When oil crashed, it's hurting all the big oil companies and the new industries, shale production, and it's hurting a lot of banks because they lend a lot of money, junk bonds, and they're going to go bankrupt. One is the bull market, which started in 2009, is very old, and it's time for it to become a bear market. The strong dollar. Dollar rose very sharply last year, and that is causing the stock market to fall. And you know what? It could be a little bit of all this. But I want everybody to realize that markets don't go in one direction. They go in two directions. They have a bias to the upside, a long-term bias to the upside. I think if you go like the 1900 to today, the market's up about 10% a year on average. But that doesn't mean you don't have huge falls. You do. But I think that everybody's so focused. You realize the market's only down. The S&P is only down 10%. The Nasdaq's only down 15%. That's not a collapse, everybody. That's just a correction. And now could it go down more? Yeah, I think it will. But so far, we're not in a bear market. Now, there might be parts of the market that are very, very much in a bear market, which we've talked about. And that is true. Commodities especially. Our time is up. A reminder that if you have a question you'd like to ask me directly, you can send me a note by going to investtalk.com and clicking on Contact Steve. The email comes directly to me. I'm Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and everyone at KPP, thank you for listening today. And please join us again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.